Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 494, Fissure Quest, and The New Next Generation.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie, and we're done.
We made it!
We did it. We fucking
I've definitely made this reference before. My first MST was a tape with two episodes, and one of them was Gamera versus Zegra, which was the last Gamera movie they got to do.
Yep.
And it opened with like a big party, and they're like, hey. Like, you're sending us a bad movie, but it doesn't matter. It's over. And that's what
you
I think of. Like, I'm sure I thought of that.
At, Gamera.
Yeah. I'm sure I thought of that at the end of Voyager, at the end of Enterprise. And here we are once again.
Yep. We did it.
We did. No one has done it as much as we have.
That is canonically true. No one can say they've done it as much as we have. No one can say whatever they want. Yeah, they can say whatever they want. They're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We've
done
the work. I mean,
yeah.
We've only got two series left, and they're both pretty short.
Yeah, man.
So
then God knows what we'll do. Well, we got some ideas, but
you came up with a good idea. It's not going to last long.
I did come up with a good
idea.
Yeah,
it'll carry us a couple of months, but
if it can get us to whenever the fuck Academy comes out, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do.
I have not heard much in the way of release dates on that.
Yeah, I have not either. I know it's finished. But
I don't. Is it?
Yeah, as far as I know, they wrapped on or like finished. They wrapped on filming.
Finished shooting.
Yeah,
they still got to edit it and all that. Okay. Yeah, because I had heard that it wasn't coming out this year. Like in
it might not.
It's coming out in 2026. But I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
I would not, honestly, if it was coming out in 2025, like we would have seen a trailer or something by now. I feel like
possibly didn't they have whatever big Star Trek event they have because they put out a bunch of. Strange New Worlds, like promotional material.
Yeah, I think that was their only big focus, you know?
Well, that's all they got right now. It's the only running show right now. Mm-hmm. Well, but first, we got to put a nail in this show. So,
yes, for the love of God, let's put a nail gun to this show.
Yes. So let me tell you about Fissure Quest. Terrible title, by the way.
Yep.
Realizing we only have two episodes to go, the writers desperately scan the whiteboard in the writing room to see what loose plot threads are still left hanging. Oh, yeah, one of them says. We made Nails Boimler join Section 31 for some stupid reason, so we should probably follow up on that. So, Boimler, in Section 31, is a captain now. And he's hopping across multiple alternate realities, making references to various things from across the history of the Trek franchise. And somehow, I kind of loved this episode. First of all, the crew is comprised of Curzon Dax, an excellent pull, and a character I always wanted to get to know better. Also, T'Pol, that T'Pol, as in one of the only not terrible characters from Enterprise. Also, she mentions that she and Trip were married for several decades, meaning that somewhere in the multiverse, Trip didn't die like a complete bitch, so Maggie's got to at least be a little happy about that. And
Yay.
A bunch, like a whole bunch of Harry's Kim, all of whom are ensigns, which is a great joke. Especially when they rescue one who's actually impossibly made lieutenant and the rest of them don't know what to make of that. Oh, and also, Garak and Bashir are here. Yes, that Garak and Bashir. And they're married. They're not just saying, oh, we pretended maybe they possibly could be gay and they brushed hands or something. No, they kiss. They are married. Uh-huh. They are a couple. They spend the episode bickering, and every time either one of them opens their mouths, I get the sort of giddy, genuinely nostalgic feeling that this entire series had been trying and almost always failing to provoke in me for 4.8 seasons. Then they track down the source of all these reality disruptions, and it's a ship led by Lily Sloan, that friend of Zefram Cochrane who was present for Picard's big Borg temper tantrum and helpfully pointed out that he'd broken his little ships. Lily Sloan! That is a hell of a deep cut. Oh, and all of these characters are voiced by their original performers, which you know really matters to me. Apart from Curzon, which is entirely fine, since we never actually spent more than a second or two with that guy. That means nobody sounds like the same five LA comedians and nobody's screaming and flailing their limbs for this entire episode. Which reminds me, Mariner shows up, only she's a sensible Mariner who just does her job and doesn't take stupid risks or make terrible Star Trek references all the time. And Captain Boimler actually seems pretty cool. Yeah, it seems the answer to when does this show finally get good seems to be episode 49 of 50, but then they throw the action back to the main Cerritos crew in the Prime Universe, so never mind, I guess.
Yeah, it was real nice of them on the last episode, on the second to last episode of the show to poke into
deliver the show we've been waiting for.
Yeah, they poke into the universe where the series was good, and I had a fun time watching it.
Yeah, I looking at your notes, I don't think you enjoyed it nearly as much as I did.
I did not enjoy it nearly as much as you did, but
this was the Lower Decks I always wanted. This was, you can play, like, every time we get the question in the supplemental, what is your ideal Trek show, I always say an anthology. I always say playing with different pieces from different eras and different whatevers, and this is it. This is like, we get to hang out. This was a fun crew.
Yeah, absolutely.
They turn T'Pol and Curzon into like the Bones and Spock, where they're just like at each other's throats all the time, and then Curzon's dying, and it's like, no, we're best friends, stupid.
I really love Curzon's like, fine, I'll do it even more to make you angry, and she's just like, all right.
Yeah, I was married to Trip. Also, I served with Captain Archer. I can handle this. It's fine. Yeah,
no, I want to fight with you. All right, fine.
Please. Please do.
Yep.
I have infinite patience for this. But also, at some point, someone actually says that she was married to Trip for 60 years, so she knows crazy human emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that's a good Trip reference, you know?
One last time for the road, old buddy.
So I had a good time. Amanda enjoyed this, and Amanda hates the show more than we do.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I mean, look, let's get
into
your
surprisingly,
good thing.
As number one fucking Lower Decks hater, it's always weird when someone else is like, oh, step aside and watch how a pro does it.
Well, primarily because of your good thing.
Yeah, fucking Garak and Bashir being married in this is fucking great. That is a great fucking reveal. It is a wonderful payoff for like a fan thing that's been around since that series was on the air, and which Andrew Robinson would go out of his way to confirm anytime anyone gave him even half of a chance.
And Alexander Siddig.
Yes.
I have seen interviews, like recorded interviews. I have seen convention Q&As. He's always happy to confirm that as well.
Yeah. No, that makes me so, so happy.
He says Bashir's probably bi because he wasn't faking being into all those women, but also that he was absolutely into Garak.
And makes sense to me. Yeah.
My only note would be I wish it was real canon Bashir and Garak, but that is a minor nitpick. I still got to hear Siddig and Robinson actually reprise the characters and be in love on screen.
Make kissy noises at each other.
Yes, it was great.
They spend a lot of this episode bickering about whose universe they're going to live in.
Yep. And then at the end, there's a great payoff.
Bashir's like, I don't actually care what universe we live in. And Garak goes, I don't actually care either. And Bashir goes, then why have we been arguing about it for this entire episode? And Garak, of course, goes, because it's fun.
Yeah.
Which is like, there's
that shows
the character.
These guys know that. Yeah. See? That's what I mean. This is the Lower Decks I always wanted. And my good thing, I named a ton of things I liked in my summary, and Maggie got to the obvious one first. So, here's one I didn't mention. I liked that Lily's ship was called the Beagle.
Yep.
Like, it could be seen as a subtle nod to Porthos, the only other good character from Enterprise.
Famous space
also,
Beagle.
Yes. It's also famously the name of a ship, the ship that Charles Darwin sailed on when he went on a 5-year mission to catalog strange new life forms. I looked it up and I didn't realize that's actually what he did. It was a 5-year mission.
No kidding. That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if Star Trek ever borrowed from that or if it's just a coincidence, but
I'm sure someone would have mentioned it by this point.
Yeah. But they never say named after Charles Darwin's ship. They just expect you to either know it or miss it. Like it fits beautifully in the universe. It's a nice like nod. It works. It's again, why wasn't the show always this subtle and good? You know?
I mean, here's the thing. Like they don't beat you over the head with it because the two characters who beat you over the head with these references aren't around right now.
No, this Boimler's more chill and this Mariner's way more chill. And that takes me to my bad thing. Showing us a Mariner who isn't horrible just underscores how horrible Prime Mariner is.
Oh, God, it so does. It's just like, oh, this is the character I could have been enjoying this entire time.
Yes.
Like, she's fine. I think she's a great character. you know?
Yeah, I like the performer. I genuinely love her energy. I just hate what they do with that.
It's like, it really feels like someone needs to, like, rein that back and just like, okay, but like,
yeah,
you still need to be a character here.
Yeah, and she was. She's good at her job, and like, the joke
good
is
engineer,
kind of...
which I like.
Yeah, the joke is kind of she's not our Mariner, and she doesn't really act like that.
Yeah.
But... not enough where it's like, whatever, but they do a lot of Boimler saying, what if Worf was human or whatever, which is kind of your bad thing.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, so other Boimler spends this entire episode complaining about how alternate realities are stupid and boring. And first of all, yes, I am completely sick of that crap. A lot
yeah,
of
I think we're all over
that
it.
Crap. Like, yep. We're all done with the fucking multiverse, okay? We all get it now, all right?
No, at this point, I don't want to go too far off track here, but it feels like an excuse to say we keep trying to make a connected universe and getting it wrong, so we'll just say, no, these are, it's like the best example I saw of this was the Spider-Man movie where they had all the different Spider-Men, but really, that was just a clever way to say we keep trying to get this thing off the ground and it hasn't quite worked, so now multiverse and it was our plan all along. No, yep. It wasn't.
That's the thing. Multiverse feels like such a thing for companies to latch onto. That's just like, well, now all of our stuff is important, and it means that we can get people excited just by showing them a thing that like that they've already seen, which they've already been doing. We just made it easier.
Yep.
Anyway, also then he calls alternate universes lazy and derivative, which. Good work, Lower Decks. That's been my complaint since episode one about this show. And then Lily talks about how great the... This really pissed me off. Lily talks about how great the multiverse is because it's like, we get to see all these different paths that humanity has taken. Like, why? I went to a universe where the people of Earth created like a giant dome around the planet or like whatever happened and everything. The thing is, we never see any of that in any of these episodes. We just get rolled out the same goddamn shit that's been spoon-fed to us over and over again since we were toddlers, because that's where the money is. It's just, I'm so tired of this.
But I do think we got some weird deep pulls. We got Lily, for God's sake.
When she takes her helmet off and and not only is it Lily, but I love the reveal that she is not the villain of the season.
Yeah. No, they're exploring multiverse and it accidentally is fucking with all the other universes, and she's like, well, I didn't know it did
this
that.
Like, I had no idea. We were just doing the Starfleet thing, but for alternate universes, which
we're
is not
exploring...
a bad idea.
No, it's not. Wasn't that the premise of Planetary?
Sort of.
Something like that. Weren't there guys in that at least who were exploring all the different multiverses
that
or something like that, I thought?
That sounds right.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But, I liked that too. I liked that she wasn't a villain.
Well, like we've been talking about how like this show does not do those season long arcs very well, just because they do the like maybe check in once every couple episodes to be like, hey, remember about the space holes or whatever? That's still
and there's only 10 episodes, so it feels like they don't. Yeah.
But I was getting so ready for like another stupid reveal, like it was gonna be, it was just gonna be fucking
Badgie.
What the hell was his name? Yeah, it was gonna be Badgie.
Cause he's got god powers now.
Yeah. No, we got the reveal last season that it was not Tom Paris. It was Nick Locarno. God damn.
Yep.
And I was so I was so expecting it to be just be that again this season. So having it not only be someone I never expected to see in any kind of Star Trek again, but also have her being like, well, why are you mad at us? We didn't do anything.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that. And so Memory Alpha says this. Memory Alpha, once again, weirdly quiet about these episodes.
So
but
weird.
It says, William's exasperation regarding the derivative nature of the people the crew encounters while exploring quantum realities can possibly be interpreted as a nod to the criticism that Lower Decks itself often relies on references to other entries in the franchise.
Ah, a entry targeted specifically to me. Good.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a lot of, like, I haven't heard anyone else make that criticism.
No.
I'm not saying we're fucking, you know, on the vanguard here. I'm sure other people have complained this complaint, but, like, nobody we
know.
I mean,
it's a pretty common complaint for a lot of media these days.
Yeah, I know. And look, there's a fine line between nothing's as good as it used to be, which mm-hmm. we try really hard not to be that. We try to go into each series with, you know, I made a little song about it once. We try to go in with an open mind, you know, mm-hmm. like I really wanted to like the show. I didn't want to say, oh, this sucks. This isn't the show I liked.
I no. absolutely, I wanted to like this show so badly. I tried so hard, guys. I really did.
I'm going to talk about this more next week when we do the supplemental, but I've been reading Ryan North's Lower Decks comics.
Oh, yeah.
They're what the show should be. He's so much better than they are. Yes.
I mean, he's definitely a better writer. I read the Dracula arc of that.
No, that was okay. The mini for me. The mini's okay. The ongoing's so much better.
Okay, cool. Have you checked out they did a Choose Your Own Adventure comic?
That's in the pile. I haven't read it yet. By the time we do the supplemental, I think we're going to be a little short on mail because the patrons get this way before everyone else, so there's fewer people to write in. So I wanted to have some stuff to talk about. So I'm going to read all that and talk about it a bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so far, the ongoing is up to issue 7 or 8, and I've read most of those, and they're great.
Cool.
The mini was okay, but this is much better. Also, Talyn is in the ongoing. She wasn't in the mini. And there's a lot of Talyn. And there's the occasional reference, but he doesn't beat you over the head with them. And it's
very little Talyn in these last two gym mats.
Well, there's been very little Talyn overall, but there you go. What else? I don't know. I really enjoyed this one.
I'm really glad you did. It definitely was better than the last episode, but like, you know.
Yeah, well, so what?
It was so strange to me also that, again, like, series is ending and we decided to not have anyone from the crew, really.
I like that on the show. Because
I don't like the crew, but like, that's the show, you know?
Yeah, but look, they threw a fan service episode out there in a good way for a change, where it's like, all you Garrick and Bashir shippers, all you people laughing at Harry Kim not being promoted, all you people who think T'Pol got a raw deal, hey, this episode's for you. I'm like, I am all of those people. Good job.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, so nice to see Harry T'Pol getting to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely it was. It's weird. She asked to be credited just as Jolene. Her full name is Jolene Blaylock, but she just went by Jolene. I don't know why.
I guess someone was begging her not to take her man, so.
I guess so. There's a whole thing. When this episode came out, there was a whole, like, I never clicked on them because I didn't want spoilers because I knew we'd be covering the show.
Yeah.
But where everyone was surprised they got her because she's one of those people that does not want anything to do with Star Trek anymore.
Fair.
And I think it's to do with Berman being a creep, and I think it's to do with fans being creep. She looks like that, and people probably treated her badly.
Yeah, you know? I get it. That show did not give her a whole lot to do over those four seasons.
Oh, it gave her lots to do, but very little dignity.
God damn.
Remember the episode where she shoved her tits in Archer's face because they were tied together in a prison or whatever?
I try not to think about that, but yeah.
I don't want to forget how badly they treated her, but here she is with dignity and just being a character and being like, I want her to watch this show, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Like,
and the Harry Kim joke was funny.
Yeah.
Like,
making Lieutenant Harry Kim also the bad guy at the end was also very funny to me.
And the rest of the Kims are like, what are you doing? Come on. We're just happy-go-lucky guys. We don't do stuff like this. I'm tired of taking orders. Dude, you're just a lieutenant.
Yeah, it's not that.
You're still
a
junior officer.
Impressive.
You still have to take orders. Thinking back on the crew of Voyager, everyone else in Starfleet still outranks you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just one rank higher, but everyone else still outranks you, man.
He's like, I don't care. I'm taking this ship back to my mother's womb.
Yep. Yeah, he probably was. But like, that was great. And the Garrick and Bashir stuff was great. Mm-hmm. Seeing Curzon was fun.
That was cool.
It was a reference I did not expect this show to pull. Like,
oh, yeah.
They know who Jadzia is, but I did not expect them to. I mean, I figured they knew who he was, but I figured they didn't care.
Yeah. Just didn't come up from that much.
Pull from the deeper DS9 stuff. Like, it's nice. But also, you had you had some DS9 guys, you had some Voyager guys, you had some Enterprise guys. Like, it wasn't the next-gen show all next-gen all the time. So,
which, I mean, like, the way this show is made would not have surprised me even a bit.
I know. And look, we loved next-gen.
Mm-hmm.
We still, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure you still do in retrospect.
Oh, yeah, like, of course I do.
think fondly back upon the 50 to 75 good episodes they did out of 178.
I mean, look, we talked about this when we did the last season of Picard. Like, I am not immune to to nostalgia. Like, you do it right and you got me pretty well, you know?
Yeah, but this, I don't, we don't need to revisit the Next Gen guys for a while, I think.
No, I'm fine with us being done with them. We can put them up in a box.
I guess Lily counts as a Next Gen guy because she was in the Next Gen movie. So I guess that counts.
The thing is, she is such a pull. Like, it didn't occur to either of us.
No.
You know?
But as soon as she spoke.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's fucking. And like, they got Garrett Wong to play Harry Kim. They got Sittig and Robinson to play their guys. They got Jolene Blaylock. They got Alfre Woodard to play Lily, who she's a pretty accomplished actor now. She's like, I'm surprised she did this. Like, she's in pretty high rated shows and pretty like prestigious shows. And like, it seems beneath her. You know what I mean? It's it's cool that she was willing to do this.
No, that's awesome. I think it's great that they were willing to you know, give her whatever she wanted, I hope.
I'm sure they just paid her scale like they do voice actors. Fair. Voice actors are nothing. They don't they don't deserve anything. I'm a professional voice actor.
Oh, sweetie. Hell no.
No, but you know. But you know what I mean. Like,
I do,
it's not a high-paying thing.
No, but, no.
Oh, I guess she's not.
That's why
quite
all voice
as...
actors have podcasts now.
Well, you know,
where they play D&D. Well,
joke's on them. I had podcasts first.
Yeah.
You were
doing
so
it before.
I guess
cool.
She wasn't.
And after it was cool.
Yeah, well, it was never cool. At any point in this journey with me, has this ever been cool, even once?
I mean, it's been cool to me.
Well, yeah, yes, no, I've enjoyed myself tremendously, but has it been cool?
No, God, no.
Also, I'm mistaken. She's not doing quite the prestigious stuff as I thought, but she is getting like steady work. Like she's
good.
She's been in a bunch of Marvel things and so forth. So that's good. She was in the Luke Cage show. She was like a main character in that.
Oh no, shit.
She played Black Mariah.
Oh wow. Okay, she was the main villain in the Luke Cage show.
Yeah.
That's. Awesome. I was going to say I didn't recognize her, but I've never recognized anyone, so.
Yeah, you think you have face blindness. So.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, she was a great pull.
Yeah.
And seeing her in sort of the proto, like, they used a ship design that was one of the early prototypes. I think it was for the motion picture or something. Mm. It was the original guy who designed the Enterprise, which I think, oh, fuck, I don't have this in front of me now. I think was Jeffries. The guy they named the Jeffries tubes after.
Designs. No, not Central Park.
No, it's in the Memory Alpha.
Matt Jeffries, yeah.
That's him, Matt Jeffries. Thank you.
Yeah.
For some reason, that name just falls out of my head now.
It's weird now. Like, I barely register it, and I get kind of mad when I hear it.
Yeah. Hang on, I need to see. Help me out here, Memory Alpha. I'm just.
How can I help you?
No, I can't find it now. Anyway, it was one of the early designs or something like that. Mm. Like the ship was one of the early concepts for the Enterprise or something along those lines.
Sure.
And I don't know. I like that.
That's cool. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Defiant. So like.
Oh no! Not that ship. Lily's ship.
Oh, okay, cool.
With the weird ring design.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like one of the very early... No. The ship that the Boimler was captain of was that.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about the Beagle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Well, and I like the little arm patch logo they had, too.
Here we go. It's in the entry for the Beagle. That's why I couldn't find it. I was looking at the episode. The overall shape of the Beagle is inspired by that of the USS Enterprise XCV-330, which was previously established as an early Earth spacecraft predating the NX-01.
Huh.
This design was itself originally based on concept art by Matt Jeffries, which made its debut in canon in Star Trek The Motion Picture. I think there was like a mural of previous Enterprises that it was in that. And then they sort of extrapolated, it would be the ship before. Maybe it was in the opening montage of Enterprise where they show the different ships that preceded as well. But.
Yes, okay.
But it was a nice pull. Again, yeah. And just like Disco, like the design of Disco recycling some old, you know, designs. I kind of like that. Because it's hard to get people to sort of get themselves back in that 60s design mindset. But if you just go back to the old drawing board. You just use what you
They had plenty of like.
Yeah. All stuff right. Like that. What else?
What else?
Oh, there was a great joke where the Kims are talking amongst themselves and talking about how like they never promote ops. And one of them says, yeah, nobody knows what we do. That was such a good joke.
Yeah, I did laugh at that. Nope.
I am the co-host of the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. I still don't really know what ops does. Don't write in and tell me. I don't care. But
that was the thing when we were doing Endeavor where it's like, I don't fucking know what ops does. We'll make it like two guys up there.
Well, yeah, you made binars. So that solves that problem.
There, problem solved. Now I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yep. All right. What else? Anything?
There's another cute monster that had big teeth.
Oh, I hated that thing.
I hated that, and I really hated Mariner goes, well, those guys are too cute to be scary. And then it goes, brah. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. You've now done this, like, at least
three times. Uh-huh. Right.
Yep. No, they even mentioned, like, oh, it was going to drink our bones or whatever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, sure.
Drink this bone.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I liked this episode. If I'm ever called upon and I remember to like say, what are the, say, five good episodes? Guys, say out of 50, they did five good ones.
Yeah.
This would be one for me. If it's not for you, that's cool. We don't agree on everything, but like, I
didn't hate it, but you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm pretty checked out at this point.
That's fair. You know what I did hate was the final one. The grand final, as Greg Davies says.
Oh, boy.
Well, tell us. Tell us what happens in the worst title, also, The New Next Generation.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so our Boimler receives the distress call from other Boimler, and the Cerrito springs into action. And to the surprise and also disgust of everyone involved, the Cerritos is the only ship in the quadrant that can get to the location of the universe-destroying rift in time. I guess that doesn't just happen to the Enterprise. Worst, the rift is surrounded by a Schrodinger's field, which may or may not kill Dr. Tiana. No, sorry.
I hate to stop your summary. That is maybe the best joke you have written in years. That is so good.
Thank you.
Please continue.
No, seriously, though, it can turn anything into anything else. And to demonstrate that, the rift kills a bunch of Klingons, as is tradition. Well, specifically, it discifies some Klingons, which is honestly much worse unless you're a big, stupid bone collar enthusiast. Speaking of Klingons, brothers Ma'a and Malor, who I hope I'm pronouncing correctly, are en route to deliver some wine and get attacked by some lady Klingon whose brother they killed earlier in the season. I forget her name. And it doesn't matter because most of this episode is just fucking around. The Dukes of Kronos hook up with the Cerritos to get asylum and everyone flies into the rift. Then the Cerritos turns into a bunch of other starships, which I usually consider to be ship porn, but today I'm just bored by it. They do get to live out their series-long dream of finally being a galaxy-class ship, but they don't even make any jokes about that. Anyway, the Klingons all die, the rift gets sealed and turned into a pretty cool open gate to other universes that Starfleet sets about exploring. They post Starbase 80 outside of it, and they put Captain Freeman in charge, and everyone remarks on how far they've come while Mariner makes a speech about how awesome the Cerritos crew is. And that's it. The end. The credits roll. And I finally get to the part where the show gets good.
Yeah, this sucked.
My God, this was so bad.
So when we did the Enterprise finale and the fandom at large, their main problem with that was that it was focused too much on Riker and Troi. Mm-hmm. My problem was that it spent about a third of the episode with this side quest with Shran that had nothing to do with anything. This had that exact same thing where we spent a third of this episode with this Klingon stuff with the wrestler Klingon who sounds like this and wears overall with one strap off and
it's time to snap into a slim targ, brother.
Right. And it's like, what? Like, okay, revisiting these characters because they're friends of Mariner, I guess, but in the finale, you have a lot. You have established a decent amount of characters, and you probably
there's so much going on. Like
put a button on everyone's arc here, and instead, we're just fucking around with that.
I am looking back at the summary I just read, and the word Klingon comes up so many times, and the word Mariner comes up once.
Sometimes we choose to focus on something that caught our attention in our summaries, but Maggie's is pretty spot on in terms of like ratio of like things that happened.
Like the thing, like Boimler and Mariner get to do a lot of running around and stuff, which, you know, whatever.
They do the joke at the end of the last episode where dignified Captain Boimler is like, well, I'll send it to my alternate universe. He'll take care of it. And they cut to Boimler and going, blah, we're all gonna die, blah. And like, oh God, this guy hasn't changed since minute one.
Yep.
And that's his thing this episode.
Yeah. And it's just like, we have come so far and this is the last episode. And like, as much as I hate this show, and I do, like a
lot. You like
lot
some of
of
the characters though.
That is what the show has going for it, is some of the characters are very good. But like a lot of people like this episode, and I can't imagine watching this and be like thinking this was a good ending to this series. Like,
no, it's exactly the way I felt with the Enterprise one, which is I didn't personally care for much of this show, but also this isn't a good thing for the people who did like it.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Like, what we get is more focus on Freeman leaving and, forgettable first officer guy who to this day.
Ransom.
Ransom, thank you, is the captain now. I'm like, okay, fine. But like, what happens to our guys, really? Like, the five guys now who are the main ones, like, Rutherford has a nice little arc where he's like, I think I'm over this ship. I think I'm not that into it. And then it turns out, no, my I took my implants out, and it turns out I do like this ship. I'm like, okay, you went through a little something in this one.
Yeah, that's sort of something.
But Mariner and Boimler get almost nothing. Tendi and Talin almost get nothing. You get you got your good thing here, but that was a blip.
Yeah. So my Talin and Tendi have a science bestie moment where they do like a high five or something at the same, or they push a button at the same time or something and yell science besties. And I waved a little flag because that made me happy.
No, then they cut to like the split screen like Voltron style. I'm sure it's from other anime, but that's what I know it from.
Yeah, and I'm like, just like,
I didn't like that. I thought it was a little pandery, but if you liked it, I will. You know,
I mean, like, I'll take being pandered to, you know, like.
Yeah, that's fine. The whole last episode was being pandered to, and I liked it, so I get it.
But like fucking, you know, my two favorite characters appearing in a brief cameo.
They didn't have an arc so much as, oh, we're having trouble with this co-science officer's thing. Oh, no, it's no. Well,
oh, actually, then, actually we didn't.
Yeah. Also, the end was Mariner and Boimler are going to be co-first officers. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's ridiculous.
Okay, so I try not to bring this up too much because I know it bores everyone. Nobody cares but me, but I watch a soap. I watch Days of Our Lives, and I've been watching it for years now. And they do a thing every now and then where, like, it's like, who's going to control the big multinational conglomerate? And it's so stupid. But what they inevitably do is co-CEOs, like, well, then they could both have it. And we always think that's one of the dumbest soap. That's not how it works.
Well,
you don't both get to be in charge of a thing. And that's how I feel on this show is like, you can't actually do that, though.
Yeah. What are you talking? Well, and again, this just like shows once again that like the Cerritos has like a really minor like. There's huge chunks missing of their bridge because, God damn it, they weren't supposed to be important.
Well, that's fine. I don't care about that. It's just like, imagine like the structure at your job.
Yeah.
You report to someone who is your boss. What if you reported to two bosses? Wouldn't that be confusing and often conflicting?
Yes.
Like, a department head needs to be a singular person.
Like, I just... It's so fucking pat, you know? It's just look, all your problems are gone. Look, see, they're gonna do great. They're commanders now, which I mean, at least they weren't cadets last year, got promoted to first officer. That's something
I liked the jump from ensign to lieutenant. Like I liked that the show decided part the way through to say now they're not at the bottom rung, but they're not command yet either.
Yeah, they're up.
They're one rung up. They get some privileges now, but they're still pretty low. And like, good. Yes. I wish they had done that in like season two. And by now they'd be on the next rung, you know, but whatever.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
No, the idea like that they were like, here's Boimler's first, like he has to command like these guys. Like there's something there, you know?
Yeah, they did an okay. Like I didn't like the way it played out, but it was not a bad idea for an episode. And like, yeah. And I don't know. I wouldn't have minded jumping ahead and seeing how they all turned out. But like, that's a pretty, you know, like we did that an hour thing. And like, it's done in a lot of stuff. It's, you know, my good thing, I didn't have a lot. Like I really didn't like this one very much.
No, it was bad. It was a bad episode.
And especially coming off that last one that I did enjoy, it was like, okay, well, you got some momentum here. Let's finish this off. Maybe I've seen you do some good finales. Yeah. You know how to close things up, but they fumbled it here.
Yeah.
At one point, a Klingon ship poofs into a Klingon sailing ship, which, as you might expect, is not suited for space travel, and they all just die. And like, I don't know why, but that got a big laugh out of me.
It's a cool idea. Seeing the Klingon bodies float away.
It's a dark joke, but
it's a very dark joke, but good God, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And it approached giving some stakes to
ship. We could turn into something bad. Yeah.
Having the ship uncontrollably change into something else, and luckily it stayed as like starships. Now,
well, this is my bad thing. And it actually ties into your bad thing from the last episode. The entire premise of this episode had me bracing for weird, occasionally funny alternate versions of the Cerritos crew and like any of the guest spots they couldn't work into other episodes. Like, you remember the episode where Worf was jumping between realities where he had the Bat'leth trophy and then he didn't, and Wesley showed up. Wesley was not a primary part of that episode. He didn't drive the plot at all. It's just like, no, in this reality, he stuck around and now he's a lieutenant. And it's like, oh yeah, Wesley, I remember that guy. Cool. Mm-hmm. That is a different thing that happened on this version of the ship. Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Good that, like, I don't particularly care for Will Wheaton, but it's good they got him back for that one.
Yeah.
And like, I was expecting that kind of thing. Like, here's, I can't pull anyone. I've never heard of a Star Trek actor in my life now. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. If you ever wanted a Janeway cameo or something, like, here's where you do it. The EMH from Voyager or fucking, I don't know, Odo or whatever. Like, this is where you throw those in those crazy jumps. And nobody in the ship even changes uniforms or anything. It's just changing
That's
the shape of the
one.
Ship. Yeah, that would have been a great 3-minute montage of jokes that 2/3 of them would have been tedious to me, but a couple of them would have landed. Mm-hmm. But instead, we got the ship changing into different other ships. Big fucking whoop.
I was watching this, and when they announced what was happening, I'm like, oh, you know what would be a really funny gag is if at one point they, like, Boimler and Mariner turn into real, like, real Boimler and Mariner. Like, because we know
we've seen them.
Yeah, we've seen them. They show up on Strange New Worlds. Like, that's a fucking joke, you know?
Yep. No, there's so many like quick little gags that would also like again make the stakes important too, because you could turn into something bad.
Yeah,
but and at one point they very briefly turn into a mirror universe ship because you got to touch the mirror universe at least once.
Yeah, I'm shocked. This show Star never Trek went to the show. Mirror universe, and honestly, thank you.
Yeah, you know what? We're docking a lot of points for a lot of things, but they get one point there at least.
Yep.
But yeah, I just like. I don't care about the shape of the ship. I don't. Yeah. It's like what you said in the last episode. They're talking about all this interesting stuff, but we don't get to see it.
And having it change into just other ships, there's no jokes here. You're just looking at other ships that exist, you know?
Yep. If it was happening while they also changed inside.
Yes.
That could be interesting. You do a fucking everything everywhere at once thing where it's just like, and this is the googly eyed walnut world or whatever, you know?
Like, there. Yep. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yet another wasted opportunity from this fucking show.
Much of our criticisms are, I could have done this better, not because I'm a better writer, but because I just thought about it for 5 seconds.
Not because I'm a better writer, but because you're a worse writer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly that. What was your bad thing?
What was my bad? Lower Decks. My bad thing is Lower Decks. The television program Lower Decks.
Yes, correct.
Also, we touched on this, but seriously, the show is wrapping up, and you're still focusing on a couple of Klingons that have been in 3 episodes. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
there's nothing for any of my girls to do in this episode.
No, if that had been like episode 3 of this final season, that'd be fine. Mariner's following up with her Klingon friends. Fine, whatever.
Yeah,
but for the finale,
yeah.
Come on, man. Also, the woman who was chasing the other Klingons, I briefly thought was Grilka, who was the Klingon that Quark was romantically involved with briefly. And it was like,
I saw that in your notes. And
that was a nice pull. And then they said her name a few more times, and that's not what they were saying. It just sounded a bit like that. Like, oh, never mind.
No, I saw that in your notes, and I assumed it was true at first. And I'm just like, what a shitty way to treat that character. Because, she's a real one-note villain.
I mean, like every Klingon, really?
I mean, you got me there.
You could, that's why I've never really warmed to the Klingons, is because, you could have fucking Martok doing this, and it would be I guess that works. I don't know.
I mean,
because Klingons just get stupid sometimes.
Yeah. She's got a lap targ, which is, I don't know, glancing at being a joke.
It's like a purse dog, but it's a targ. I thought that was kind of funny. Ugh. Because it was like the fucking, the terrible, the rich ladies have the ugly little dogs in their purse. Like, if Amanda was rich, she would have that targ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
But it wasn't much.
And then they all turn into Worf from the fucking Generations episode.
Episode. Yeah. I know.
Mariner has just kicked the door in to tell me that it's actually the Genesis episode. This is the Genesis type situation.
Genesis is Planet Forbidden, Maggie.
Genesis is Episode Forbidden.
Mm-hmm. But come on, Picard could turn into what was it?
It was a small lemur or something, right?
Yes, something like that. Mm-hmm. We got I will say, as much as we didn't have many good callbacks to anything. By the way, the Klingon captain was Relga.
Relga, Yeah,
I heard Grilka a couple times, but it's Relga.
She's like the dude that they killed a couple episodes back's brother or something. It doesn't fucking
matter. Yeah, it's typical
matters.
Klingon shit. You killed my brother, prepare to die.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? They had one of the few actual callbacks that I liked was Ollie, the demigod in engineering, uses her powers to fuck up the Klingon ships and good work.
Yeah, I like that. She basically Hadoukens the other ship, and I'm like, yes, please, thank you.
I don't get that reference, but
it's the fireball that Ryu. It fucking doesn't matter.
Okay, I know a lot of people are going to get that. I've heard it mentioned, and I know
it's from Street Fighter 2, your favorite game.
Yeah, when Street. let's see what else. I just seriously, this would have been it's so easy to just connect the dots and give you T'Lynn has her hero moment, and Tendi has her hero moment, and even Boimler gets one, and no, they didn't do that.
No.
Let's just hang out with this fucking hee-haw wrestler Klingon guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother. Okay.
What about me, brother?
Uh-huh.
Nothing means nothing, mean Gene Roddenberry.
See, that I got.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really know. I don't really go there, but...
No, I was into wrestling for about 2 years in the early, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep my toe in occasionally on, Randy Savage is funny,
I mean, look. If I see a gift set of Rhea Ripley, I will stop whatever I'm doing.
That's just because you have eyes, my friend.
Yes, exactly. What an attractive lady. My word. Amanda's like, I like her wrestling skills. Yep, you sure do.
Yep, absolutely.
She does a wrestling move where she just shoves her butt in someone's face.
Yeah. There's a rich tradition of that in wrestling.
Well, okay. What else?
I like there's a moment where the Cerritos is like, why aren't their ships changing? And Dr. Tiana goes, their ships don't update too often. They always want their ships to look like big stupid birds.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little meta joke too. Yep. The Klingon ships are exactly the same as they were since Search for Spock.
Yeah.
They fucking came back to the fucking Twain thing again, which was mildly
Everybody's
funny the
joke.
First time, but I'm not even going to argue with you because you laughed and
I laughed
that makes it
time.
A good joke. Yeah. But they keep bringing it back because they're like, oh, this got a laugh. Let's do it again. There's a finesse to this, guys. That wasn't it. Yeah. But that's the show. What are you going to do?
I mean, we'll watch it again. I'll tell you that much.
No, we don't need to. We're done.
Yeah.
We've done
it. It's over.
We have done it. It's over.
It's over. And like fucking, I watched every episode of this show. And guess what? I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think it's a good show. I don't think it's funny. I don't like most of the characters. I think it's bad Star Trek. I don't hate it as much as Enterprise.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
No, often what bothered me the most, I've said this a bunch, is the wasted potential. It's like, because every now and then they show me how it could be good. Enterprise never did that.
No.
Enterprise from day one was a concept where I was like, why are you going back? I don't
need
this.
Yeah, this is a weird choice just to begin with. And like the way you've done it is also very strange.
Yeah. And then, okay, the one interesting thing we know happens, the war with the Romulans, didn't even happen.
Yeah, you're not interested in that.
Yeah. Where they were setting it up for season six or whatever, and it never happened. Or five,
idea of setting something up for... Yeah, we'll get to it when we get to season six. Like, fuck off. What are you talking about?
Well, the preceding three series got seven seasons. So they
I guess
just assumed
true.
It was their turn. But
you didn't count on being horrible, did you, Enterprise?
Oh, I don't think that was it. I think UPN was just like, okay, we've had enough Star Trek. Yeah. Thanks.
I think we can put this away for a while.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
No. I hate this show.
I don't love it. We're going to do some more sort of final thoughts next time, though.
Yeah.
Like, we got the supplemental. We got, like, mostly we should just stick to these episodes. But, like, I got some more sort of overall thoughts, I think. And I, like I said, I'm reading those comics, and I got some stuff to say about those. But those comics, quite good.
Like, oh, good. I might actually check those out then.
The show to me is a D minus, sometimes as high as like a C minus on a good day. The comic is like a solid B plus.
All right, cool. No, I definitely rank this as a D minus.
Yeah, it's not great. It doesn't fail. Like Enterprise, yours had a big F on it.
Yeah.
But the show just barely squeaks by. You get to graduate, but you know.
I'm excited to never have to look at you again.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. All right. Well, as I said, next time we're doing the supplemental.
Yep.
Because
email, send it. I guess you won't hear this.
If,
whatever.
If you are getting this via the Patreon, then please send us an email. If you are getting this after the fact, that's cool. Like you don't have to pay to enjoy us. It's a nice benefit, but you don't have to. But it does mean don't bother writing in with your Lower Deck stuff, because by the time you hear this, we'll be well into Prodigy. So.
Yes. And I will not want to talk about it again.
No, it's going to slip right out of our heads. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, we're happy to dance on its grave or piss on it or whatever you want to do to its grave. I don't know. But I also don't remember things. So it's like, you know, but you Patreon guys, if you got anything, write to us, post it on @gmail.com. You guys have also been leaving comments. I will try to go through those as well if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who want in on this Patreon action, they're getting episodes 13 weeks ahead of everyone else. And
yeah.
It is as little as a buck a month, patreon.com/Algar.
Mm-hmm.
You also get, we're doing a new Nick and Willikin serial, and there will be further other productions through there. So check it out.
Please.
And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. So long, Lower Decks.
Twala dregs.
The Post-Atomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.